Can you believe it? Oh my goodness. I can't. Oh my.
Whoa. Oh my. I'm sorry. You caught me off guard. Please excuse us. My newfound companion Eliza and I were just on our way back to Jerusalem to prepare a room for our friends. You see, they travel not too far behind us, and all this excitement, it's because we've been with Jesus of Nazareth. Now please, don't buy the lies that the chief priests and the elders have been spreading about him, for we have seen him. We've been with him. In fact, Eliza, you were even at the tomb with the other women when he was found risen. Go ahead, tell them. What you have to say is important.
We were the first to see him, the women. We had prepared the spices and the ointments the day before, and then we rested because it was the Sabbath. When we finally arrived at the tomb, the stone, it was rolled away. The tomb was empty. Despite our disbelief, Jesus was alive. He said he would be. No need to use these spices any longer, but I carry them to this day to never forget that morning. You see, I met Jesus at a different tomb, the tomb of Lazarus. I was a dear friend of Mary, Lazarus' sister, and when I heard of Lazarus' passing, I went to mourn with Mary, but instead of mourn, I'm sure you've heard this one, I got to witness Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I had heard about Jesus' power before, but I finally got to witness it just by using his words. That was it. I gave up everything to follow Jesus. Now I know what you're thinking when you look at me, a woman. I mean, what good could I possibly bring to Jesus' ministry? When I go out in public, I'm not to speak to strangers. We have our own separate spot in the synagogues from the men, and I go out and I keep my head down. I try not to draw attention to myself, but when I began following Jesus, he treated us women differently. He broke bread with us. He took the time to teach us. He even healed some of the other women. He truly loved us.
I am a witness to this, friends. But you see, I met Jesus, and the prophet John, he baptized me in the Jordan River, and as I was coming up out of the water, I felt so empowered by what I don't know, but my soul, it leapt within me, and then my eyes, they fell on him, Jesus, the Nazarene of Galilee, and immediately I knew I wanted to follow this man with everything in me, and wherever he went, whatever he asked of me. And so I did, and I followed him all around the country, witnessing him perform miracle after miracle, raising people and healing people, as you said. But in all my time that I spent with him, none has been as precious as these past 40 days have been. We've only had glimpses of him here and there, but these moments have been so special.
It was one day after we had returned from the tomb, and you remember, we were in Jerusalem. We were all gathered behind that locked door.
Yes.
And suddenly, Jesus appeared. He said, "Peace be with you." He was hungry, I remember. We watched him eat.
We did.
No more doubting from the other disciples. I knew what I saw at the tomb that day, and now you saw it too.
I know. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Jesus, our Lord, standing before us. He was talking with us, but the first thing I noticed about him was his hands, where the nails, those nails had been driven through. The scars, they remained, but I wanted to grieve for him, mourn for him. I knew the suffering he must have faced, and it crushed my heart. But I knew. I knew his suffering was finished. It was peace that came over me, peace. I knew the victory was won. He was alive. But it was only a week later that we saw him the next time, an entire week. He appeared to us in the room again, and he was there. He was talking with us, laughing with us, and I couldn't believe it. He greeted us with those same words, peace. Peace be with you.
I had never known such peace. Despite fearing our lives from the Jewish leaders, my heart was instantly settled by the presence of our Rabboni.
But he appeared to us again, just a few of us though. It was a third time. We were fishing on the Lake of Tiberias. It was myself, Simon, Thomas, Nathaniel, James and John, the brothers of Zebedee, and one other. And we had been casting our nets all night on the one side of the boat to no avail. The fish were eluding our nets. But then Jesus was there. I saw him standing on the shore, and he called to us, and he said, "Friends, cast your net on the other side of the boat." And so I remember pulling our nets up and casting them once more on the opposite side, and instantly our nets were flooded with 153 of the largest fish that I've ever seen in my entire life. It was almost laughable. Seven of us fully grown men couldn't pull the net back into the boat. Three of us were trained fishermen. Jesus led us to the largest catch of fish that we had ever caught, all by listening to his voice and obeying him. And then this morning, it was incredible. He rallied so many of us to him, and we walked outside the city, following him up onto the hill, onto the Mount of Olives.
There were so many people. There must have been a few hundred.
Hundreds.
I could barely see Jesus, so Matthias and I, we walked through the crowd, trying to get closer to him, and then he stopped, and he stared into each one of our eyes.
You must excuse her because, yes, it was such a powerful moment. I thought this must be it, the moment our Messiah from this mountain would send us into battle against our oppression. But he shocked me by what he did next. He lifted his hands, began to pray over us and bless us. And then, heaven, it stood open before our eyes, and I saw into the presence of God, and the glory of God shone down upon us where we stood.
And then Jesus, he was lifted off the ground, and he disappeared into the splendor and the majesty right before our eyes.
All I could do was but fall to my knees and sing the praises of his name.
Jesus,
our Messiah. But instantly, a light, it flashed, and I looked, and my gaze was caught, and two men, they appeared there before us.
And they were dressed in all white. There was something so heavenly about them.
There was something different. I thought these must be warriors from God sent to lead us into battle, but no, they were messengers from God with this message.
This same Jesus,
who has been taken from you into heaven,
will return in the same way you have seen him go.
Go! That was it. That was his final command before he disappeared. He said, go. And when he said, go, he followed it with a few words that still ring in my mind. He said, panta, ta, ethne, meaning go to all peoples, all races, all cultures, all ethnicities. But how could it be that we were to go, us Israelites, beyond our own borders to the Gentiles?
And Jesus wasn't just talking about the men on that mountain.
No.
He was talking to everyone. He was talking to the women as well. To think that someone would know Jesus through me, a woman.
Yes, a woman. I know what you must be thinking, but I too have witnessed the fact that he sat and talked with women, and even a Samaritan woman once, a pagan. I'm so confused, but yet so excited. My very name, Matthias, it means a gift sent from God. But could it be that God wishes to send this gift not just to Israel, but to all people? I don't know. But we must be off. We must prepare the room for our friends. I'm so sorry. Come on.
We spent too much time already.
Yes. Jesus is coming back.
Please tell everyone this news.
Yes.
Awesome. That was Jared Dimmick, who is our assistant youth director. He's on our staff. He may not look old enough to be that, but he is. Mandy, who is our children's ministry director. So great to hear from them. The message is, let's get busy. That's what we're talking about today. And they gave you the whole scriptural setting. They did a great job. Each of these weeks, they've written their own drama, and we just kind of hear it ahead of time, so we have a little bit of a feel where everything is going to go. And they have tried to be very scriptural in what they've presented to you, and I think it's been awesome. I've really appreciated each of the differences each week as they have shared those. Next week, we're starting a new series. It's called I Love My Church. And so what we'll be doing is we're going to be collecting some stories from you that would say, boy, the reason I love my church is. So if you have one of those stories and you'd like to say, God has worked in my life or changed my life or done something, and why you would like to share that, we would love to hear that. So send us an email, let us know, and we're collecting those. those so that you can be encouraged during the next 6 or 7 weeks. And it's all going to be about caring for one another. And so that's what the message is. How can we better care for one another? So I hope that you'll be encouraged and blessed as a result of that as well. Well, the scripture says in Acts 1:11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts in these moments we share. Teach us. In Christ's name, amen. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? You can just see that. The angels give this message to them because they're standing there like, whoa. Now, here's the sad thing. Many people are still just standing. Many people in the church are still just standing. They're not doing anything. They're staring. I want to say that we need to get busy. That's the message that we need to hear. And it's a message that is all about the work that God wants to do in our lives. So don't just stand there. Don't just stand there. Get busy. Each one of us is called to be busy. Each one of us is called to be a part of this message that is going out. And so each one of us needs to be a part of that. Why do you just stand there? Why do you just stand here and not be busy? What keeps you from making a difference in your world? What keeps you from making a difference? How can we see that happening, and what can we see that is taking place? There's a great importance of understanding the message that God wants to do, but sometimes it's just fear. Sometimes it's fear from other people's thoughts of us. What keeps us from making a difference? Because if you think about, we have the opportunity of making an eternal difference in the lives that are those around us. When you think about those decisions for Christ that were made this week or last week or during the past year, and you see all of those lives that are changed, this is changed for eternity. This is not just about this world. It's about what's going to happen forever. And so what keeps us from making a difference? What keeps us from sharing your faith? What keeps you from telling others the good news? What keeps you? Do we get kind of too comfortable? They tell us statistically within the first year after someone comes to Christ, their opportunities of reaching other people for Christ considerably diminishes. Why? Somehow we get comfortable. Somehow we kind of get into a state and place of where we are, and we kind of lose a little bit of that glow, that excitement. There's such an importance in our message that we would continue to remember. What keeps you from looking for and longing for his return? Sometimes I think we just have so much here that we're so comfortable that we lose sight of what God has prepared that's beyond this world and that what's further. Jesus' coming was predicted. Jesus came. Jesus lived among us. He died for us. Jesus was resurrected and he ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. That's the message, as simple as it gets. That's the message that he wants us to know. He was alive, he died, he was resurrected, and he's coming again. Great message, but he wants us to be able to take as many people to heaven with us as possible. So why do we stand there looking into the sky? Such an important message. If we realize what we're trying to do in the lives of those around us, if we realize the great importance of the message that we have to share, wouldn't we be thinking about it every day as we go about our business? Wouldn't we be praying that God would open doors for us and give us opportunities to be able to make that kind of difference? Well, Jesus' final words to his church were given at this point. He had gathered those, as Mandy and Jared just shared with us, and he was giving out the message, and he said he wanted to bring the word to them. Because John tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That was Jesus. So the words that Jesus spoke are the words that God wants to communicate to us. Jesus' words to his followers were, go and tell. So he went to all his followers and he said, here's the message that you need to be aware of. Go and tell. You need to share this with as many people as possible. This is the message that needs to go out. His words to his disciples, go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. So you need to go. You need to do something about this. You don't just sit still. You go. You make sure that you look for opportunities. You do whatever is needed to help bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the message that each one of us has. He said to Peter, feed my sheep. He repeated like three times to Peter because he wanted him to say, look, here's the message now. Nothing else matters. And do you remember at this point when Peter said, okay, that's the message for me, but what about John? Because he pointed to the other. What about him? Isn't it like us to say, okay, that's my job, but what is everybody else going to do? Am I the only one going to do this? And then Jesus said, what difference does it make to you? I mean, really? Like, if I want him to live forever, like, what business is that of you, of yours? The fact is, what do? We compare ourselves to others. We always are looking at, don't compare yourself to others because there's no comfort in it. Trust me. You need to make sure you're looking ahead to see what does Jesus want to do through your life. He said his words to us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Every one of us is called to be a witness. Every one of us. We're all called to be sharing the truth. This is not something you say, well, we'll just leave that to the pastors. Wrong. We'll leave that to the professionals. Wrong. We'll leave that to someone else who's really more outspoken and has a greater personality to touch other people's lives. Wrong. Every one of us has been called to be a witness. And so we are called to be able to make sure we're making a difference where we are. And Jesus said, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. There's a blessing that God brings when we share with others. And we see the difference that it can make in other hearts and lives. What a difference that can be. There's a great importance. So there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do. And we don't always know how to do it. But I'm telling you, the most important thing is that your heart is desiring to do this. I want to share with you a video of a guy who was so passionate, but stumbling through, but wanted to share. That's got to be the heart of each one of us. Oh,
today's the day. Oh, no. Today's the day.
Oh. Okay. I don't want to scare Bob off. I just want to share. You know, let him know that there's something more for him. I don't want him to think I'm trying to shove my ideas down his throat, but just kind of share. It can't be that hard. I'll just do this.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Maybe not that.
I know. What if I just kind of slip it into conversation? Just kind of casually mention something about God or the church and see how he reacts. Something like...
So, I was at church on Sunday and my pastor said something really interesting about how to handle stress. No? Nothing?
Oh, the notes! About the notes. I think I've got these memorized pretty well.
You see, it's all about the ABCs. A is for answer, or ask.
God has a wonderful and perfect plan for your life.
And B is for behave like a Christian. I think he's got the whole world in his hands. The entire thing.
There are four spiritual laws. The first is that God loves you.
See, this is you. And this ninja is God. Now, do you see the chasm between them? Like a caterpillar, we're reborn as a beautiful new creature.
just as if I never sinned. And she is dead to sin, alive in Christ. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. Nothing? Come on. Just a little bit? Give me something here. Come on.
This is a lot harder than I thought. A dry run. That's what I need. I could practice on the drive-thru guy. If I mess up, I won't be that embarrassed.
Yes. Have you considered accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Really? That's great.
That's good.
Listen, it's
a great conversation starter. They'd have to respond to that. Here goes nothing.
Yes. Have you considered accepting an order for a cup of coffee, please? I'm such an idiot.
Oh, that didn't work. How am I gonna do this? Well, I could scare him into believing. Oh, yeah.
Bob, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity?
I kind of like that. No, I can't do that.
God, I just want my friend to know you. I don't know if I'm supposed to show him your love or grab him by the shoulders and make sure he knows the consequences of not knowing. I'm so afraid I'll scare him off. I know that you want Bob to know you. I just don't know what to say. Help me, God. Please.
And sometimes it just takes a heart and a desire to be able to make a difference in the lives of those in our world. That's the message that is there for every one of us, a message that we need to be able to share to help make that difference. There's an importance of seeing that he came into the world, the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So, Jesus himself faced rejection. Everybody wasn't ready to listen. And I would encourage you that you need to make sure you share the truth as every opportunity that God gives you. You've heard me say it so many times, and I say it again, that, you know, it's we're fishers of men. You throw the fishing pole, you throw the bait out, and you wait for a bite. If you don't get a bite, you don't grab the fish and shove the bait down their throat. You don't do that. You need to make sure that you're sensitive to the need, but you need to always be looking for the opportunity to be able to share. Nearly 50% of America's population is considered unchurched. Isn't that amazing? Nearly 50% of America's population is considered unchurched, as in they haven't attended a church for more than 6 months. Incredible, incredible. But that's the story. So, like, is there plenty of fish out there? Absolutely. Lots of people who need to know that. Unchurched adults continue to rise. 30% in 1990, 43% today. So of unchurched adults, in just that many years, those few years, it's gone from 30% to 43%. So we're in a culture where church is less and less inviting. Less and less do people want to go. The trends indicate that the younger populations are more unchurched. So they're telling us that the trends are that more and more younger populations are unchurched. And so we start to look at this. So here's what they tell us. And could you turn the house lights up even brighter? I'd like to have even brighter. Here's what they tell us. Unchurched population groups are here. Seniors, which are considered 1945 or earlier in birth, 67 or plus, 28% of those, 28% of those are unchurched. Boomers, from 1946 to 1964, they're the ages of 48 to 66, 35% are unchurched. Busters, 1965 to 1983, they're 29 to 47, 40% are unchurched. Mosaics, which is, they call them millennials also, 1984 to 2002, 18 to 28, 48%. So, let me do this. Now, I'm not going to pin you down if you don't want to admit what group you're in. I'll give you the opportunity to round up or round down so you don't have to reveal it, okay? And then you're not lying, because the pastor already told you you could round down. But if you're in the seniors category, would you stand, please? Don't be shy. I would like to see everybody who's in that category please stand, because it helps us. Okay, everybody look around. This is just for the sake of helping us to be able to understand how many are in this category. Let me say, I want to say how much I appreciate each of you in this category. Here's why. You have seen more change than any other one of the other cultural groups that are here. You've had to experience phenomenal change. And we'd like to say we appreciate you. You are a great group that we appreciate here at Christ Wesleyan. Could we just say that? Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Boomers, could you please stand? Boomers. This is what I thought. The reason we're called boomers is we're called boomers because we were the baby boom that happened after the war. And so we are the boomers. You have also seen phenomenal changes. We came from a time when our cell phone, we didn't have cell phones. Our house phone could have been a party line. You could have had multiple rings coming into your house, which we did. We had to wait, and we'd run to the phone and wait to see how many rings came, if it was our line or not. You could pick up and hear the other people talking who got a line. So your neighbors, you could hear their whole conversation by picking up that phone and listening if you did that. We weren't allowed to do that, but sometimes we did. When that click happened, they knew it. So here's an interesting kind of dimension so that we have so many boomers that are a part here. Okay, thank you. Boomers, you can have a seat. Busters, would you stand, please? Oh, great. Okay, a good representation. Not as many as boomers. We have more boomers than I think any other category, which is characteristic. Busters, so we see that this particular group of that are in that category of that 40% are unchurched. There are a lot of reasons why that would be the case, but you can be able to kind of look around and see where our population base is of busters. Thank you. You can have a seat. Mosaics, would you stand? Okay, that's good. We have more of them, I think, second service than first. Just tell you a little bit. Because there's a group of young adults who are meeting right now over in the outlet, and they come over after this. So more of them are in second service. Mosaics, this is a need of those that we're trying to reach the most significantly. And so we see less, of course. Mosaics, this is the highest percentage of those that are unreached. And so what we try to do is try to make a difference. Could you appreciate our mosaics that are here? Thank you. You can be seated. Let me say this. We've gone through a lot of change here at Christ Wesleyan. big part of the reason why these mosaics are not coming to church and by a large percentage is because they're feeling it's irrelevant, it doesn't work for them, they're not seeing it. Their greatest criticism of the church is that the church is critical, they're hypocritical. They have lots of baggage that is there against. And so they're walking away from the church en masse. So what do we do to try to help reach them? Well, I want to say thank you to those as far as seniors, because we continue our making change that helps us to try to make a difference. Do we always do it right? No. Let me say this. We've gone from party lines in phones to cell phones, and the only person who gets it is you if it's your personal cell phone. Very few families have a family cell phone. Everybody has a phone. Meaning, everybody gets what pleases them. It's a very me-centered culture. We have Sirius radio, so I can listen, satellite radio, so I can listen to only the kind of music I want to listen to. You could have Spotify or Pandora for free, and you can plug in what music you want to listen to and listen to that all day, just the kind that you want to listen to, and there are many others. Just the kind that you want. In fact, my iTunes radio, it plays a song I like, I hit star, and that means I'm going to get more of those just like that. If I don't like it, I let it go, and then I get less of those. So I get it so honed in that it's just the music I want to hear. Isn't that amazing? Now, you come to church, and you don't have any control over this. And it's like, wow, what do you mean I don't have control over this? And I don't particularly like this. Let me say, do you know how hard, in a culture that we're in today, where everybody gets what they want and has it their way, do you know how hard it is to please 2,400 people? Do you know some of you are fanning because it's too hot? Some of you are wearing sweaters because it's too cold. Some of you, the music is too loud. It's too soft. You like to feel the music and you don't. Some of you like more hymns and some of you like less. Some of you don't like the seats and some of you would like softer ones. And some of you like firmer ones and some like the bleachers and some don't. I mean, some wear jeans, some wear suits. Some want to make sure they can bring in their coffee and others look at them like, why are you doing that in church? I mean, the list goes on and on of diversity of people. But here's the message, folks. We need to reach as many of these as possible because this is the most important thing that we do. That means we're going to sacrifice a little bit. Some of you don't like the lights low. Some of you don't like where you're seated. Some of you want things to be changed. Some of you don't like all of the things. And let me say, for you that are sacrificing in that, thank you. Thank you. Because our ministry and our heart is to keep reaching people for Jesus Christ. And every year, amen. And every year, we are seeing more people come to Christ. We're seeing the church reach more people of that whole category. And so whether we're doing it all right or not, we're doing our best to try to make a difference in our world and to change and to reach those. The fact is, the only method God has provided to reach our world is you. And that's why it's so important that every one of us, we know we're not for everyone, but here's what we try to do. We try to be intergenerational, which is really hard. It's like having a party line for everybody. That's real hard. It'd be real easy if we could give you all your own cell phones and have the individual choice of music or whatever that you would prefer. And there are churches in our area, very honestly, that serve just certain styles. Maybe just hymns and a few choruses. Maybe real contemporary where you're going to feel the music. There are those in our area that do that. But that's not been our intent. Our intent is that we would be intergenerational. That means we're trying to make everybody unhappy. And we're doing a great job. It means we're all having to give up something. We're all have not, it's not exactly. If you could, if, how many of you would say, if I could only change one thing about everything, then it would be good. You'd raise your hand. You have something that you can think in your mind. Come on, there's more of you that would like more than one thing changed. I know that. I know that. It's true for almost everyone. They could say, I only wish they would, and I hear those things. But let me just say, we're trying to reach this population.
Amazing Grace.
How sweet the sound.
That saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier.
Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now,
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free.
Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith.
To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that
That's the message. We continue to reach out. That's why it's so important that we're not judgmental. We're not critical. And whatever it is around us, we want to keep reaching out so people can feel the welcoming Spirit of Christ. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God has called every one of us to be a witness. That's it. It's real simple. That's your big purpose, and that's your big mission. He's called every one of us. God has equipped every one of us. He's equipped it. So don't be stumbling and feeling like, I don't have it, I can't do it. Yes, you can. All you have to do is speak personally. What has God done for you? What is he doing in your life? And that's the difference. God has positioned every one of us for it. He's put you in the right family, the right place, the right workplace, the right community, the right whatever. He's put you exactly where you need to be making a difference in those lives that you're touching. And where there is a fire in our heart, it is hard to keep it contained. Now, if you look on your far right, there is a chart that is there, and it says sharing Christ. And I don't know if it came out on the, I didn't check ahead to see if it came out for us or not. But in this, it says, because it's really hard, it's all one piece, and it would be hard to put on the screen, I guess. But it said this, 61% have not shared how to become a Christian with anyone in the past 6 months. 61%, huge. 48% have not invited anyone to church in the past 6 months. 20% rarely or never pray for people who are not professing Christians. 8% are hesitant to let others know that they are a Christian. 75% feel comfortable sharing their belief in Christ with someone else, but they don't. You know why? Because you got to start praying that God will put you in a place. You've got to have a passion and a desire to see it happen. I love this verse. This is a great verse to post someplace. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. If that's not your heart, start praying that God would give you that heart. It's like a fire in your bones that you can't hold it in. You're worn out trying to hold it in because you just can't do it. You want to share it with those in your world. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your blessing in our lives. Thank you for all the ways that you speak to our hearts. Lord, give us that passion, that fire to make a difference in the world around us. Help us to be able to see those that need Christ, and they would be able to see the transformation that can happen only when we trust in you. Father, if that is dead in us, let us have this passion to see it make a difference. Help us to be able to reach our world for Christ, because it's eternity that we're talking about, and it's too important to let people miss. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.